Hello and welcome to another episode of the Choose Strong podcast. I am your host, Sally McCray, and I am joined by your favorite co-host.
Your favorite co-host, that's right. I am Eddie McCray.
This is episode 45. I guess that kind of intro is now only good for brand new listeners.
Yeah.
So if you are brand new to the Choose Strong podcast / community, we welcome you and we want to first thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. We are stoked that you're here and we are especially happy to be in your ears today.
That's right. Yeah. It's always good to chat about whatever and accompany some people on their runs and on the drop-off line at school.
Right? Yeah. I mean, there are people that have just pressed that button on the side of their watch that says start,
mm-hmm.
and they have just started their run or their hike or their walk for the morning or evening,
yeah,
or lunch break. Yep. I mean, what have you.
What have you, whenever they're deciding to exercise.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
And their first thought after they pressed start on their watch was, well, obviously I'm pressing play on the Choose Strong
obviously.
Podcast.
That's a
because
given.
They want to run with friends.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, if that is the case for you today, you're out for a run, walk, hike, cycle, we are your friends and we are so happy that we get to join you for your activity today. You know, I'm putting on my coach's hat right now and I just want to encourage everyone that's doing movement right now. For those of you that are lifting, I always just like to take that coach's stance and say, well done for showing up and putting in the work today. You need to hear that. You need to know that what you're doing right now matters, whether it is a recovery day for you, even if you're not feeling great. I've talked about this a lot, especially since the beginning of the year, about doing the work. Last episode, which is coming out to be one of the most popular episodes that we've done, the 5 ingredients for consistency. One of the things that I really drove home was something is better than nothing and done is better than perfect. And I really hope that you can carry that with you this year in 2024 as you tackle any goal. But you need to understand that your journey to a race, your journey to fitness, to improving your health, it really is a personal journey. And you focus on the work that you are doing, embrace where you are today, and know that every time you show up, you get a tiny bit better. No matter what that looks like, hard workout, recovery, a modified workout, every time you show up, you get a little bit better. So there is the encouragement as you shoot off into your workout right now. We also want to give a big shout, Eddie, to those that are driving the car. I know you like to give a special shout to that. I think your good buddy, Jason Humes, who you're going running with Jason tomorrow, aren't you?
I think so. No, Saturday, I think.
Saturday.
Decided, yeah.
We want to give a big shout to our friend, Jason Humes.
Yeah.
Longtime friend. Jason Humes was the goalie coach for the women's soccer team,
yeah,
when I played at Biola University.
Yep.
And he and Eddie have really, gosh, you guys have grown a really strong friendship, especially in the last few years. And you guys run races together and, yeah, just connect often. And I love that. Jason's,
yeah,
a great guy. But give it a big shout to Jason, who is probably driving to the Staples Center. Why do I still call it the Staples Center?
I think, well, yeah, it's hard to not, but
yeah,
he drives to the train and then trains it in.
It's so weird. We have a train in SoCal that I always forget about because,
well, like the Metro line,
the
right?
Metro line kind of.
But that's the way to
if
go.
If you're in New York City, we do not have the subway system that you guys have. I'm very jealous of that. I don't know why we don't have that here in SoCal.
Who knows?
Listen, we're in Orange County, not LA. Driving, let me tell you something about California, because we get this a lot, especially when it hits winter, and everyone's like, oh, you Californians don't know weather and seasons. I'm like, California's so big.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to put it on the East Coast, it would encompass like the entire East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You drive 3-4 hours north, you're in Mammoth, which I have to remind you, gets like the most snow in the whole nation. Mm. It is buckets of snow.
Mm-hmm.
That we also have Tahoe. You know, we do get seasons here.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Southern California, most people always just think of LA. That's it.
Yeah.
A lot of times when people think California, they think LA, they think San Francisco, and, you know, maybe Sacramento, but people forget San Diego. But driving from Orange County to LA is literally like driving to a different state, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's so different.
So the metro is the way to go.
The metro is the way to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's a big, long shout to Jason Hume.
Shout out to Hume. Shout out to anybody on the metro just getting to
work.
And
people in their cars. Yeah. I got a couple messages this week from parents who said, thank you so much for making your podcasts listener friendly for all ages.
Yep.
Eddie, thank you for not cussing. This is something, is something you guys should know, an insight. Eddie hates cursing. He hates curse words. So anytime I accidentally say a curse word, his little eyebrow goes up.
Give you the side eye.
So you're never going to get any of that on the podcast. But you know what? We as parents do appreciate and know that a lot of kids are in the car when our podcast comes up, which means we're also giving a shout to our kids.
Yeah.
All those kids out there, what is up? We're so glad that you're here today. We want you to know that we believe you are the future of strength on this planet, and we want you to embrace that.
Yep.
You are strong, so don't forget that.
No, get down and give me 10. Oh, man.
All right, let's dive into today's episode. We're really excited to – every time I get a chance – to sit down with you, Eddie, and do a podcast. I know it's going to be great because one, it reminds me of our days when we were freshmen at Biola and we were just getting to know each other.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to us, we had four classes together.
Right.
Like I knew you because you're on the boys' soccer team. Mm. I was on the girls' soccer team. And oh my gosh, we ended up having four classes together that first semester.
Yeah.
And I was so excited because you were like the cute one on the soccer team.
Right, yeah,
and I was like, I have to get to know this
guy.
Right,
that's it, yeah.
But what you didn't know was that knowing me meant that your work ethic, maybe the original work ethic that you had, the efficiency in your work and studying was going to greatly drop off as the semester went on.
I'm really surprised I passed my freshman year with how the limited amount of studying that I actually did. I had great intentions, but once you came into the library, it was like, nope, not getting anything done. No focus, no nothing. And not only me, but nobody around us could get anything done because you were so loud.
In the library.
I don't think how many death stares like we got during that time, because people are like, dude, can you like go somewhere else? Like go to a coffee shop. Like if you're going to be loud, like anyways.
I wouldn't mean to. That wasn't my intention. I really had intention. I had to go to the library to get stuff done. Okay. I just have one of those brains that I couldn't concentrate in my dorm because I could hear people outside laughing and having a good time. And I wanted to do that. I would get distracted by stuff in my dorm room. I need to be somewhere like quiet that says, hey, this is where we quietly study. This is like the place where we get serious. And what ended up happening as the months went on that first semester is people would physically get up from their
table and move
when they saw me coming.
Yeah, we would walk into the library and they would get up and move.
And they'd be like, oh my gosh. But see, they wouldn't do that if you were already in there by yourself. Like if I was like, oh, I'll meet you in the library.
That's true.
You'd have all these people around you and then they'd see me and suddenly.
Well, I guess I'm done studying here.
Suddenly. Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking this little setup we got going on right here is very different than the one we're used to. I feel like I'm like slouched over, like falling off the couch.
Well, I think we can talk about one of the reviews we got because it's a public review. Everyone can read this. When I did the last episode, I was sitting on the couch all by myself. And right now I have Bear in my lap.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves me. Look at him, he just does. Cuddled up in this like furry blanket.
Yes.
Anyway, kind of the same thing. I'm sitting on this couch, super chill. And this comment comes into the YouTube. Man, finally, Seeing Sally in this setup, this is, I'm definitely like
paraphrasing.
Yeah. But it was like, this is something I can get behind. This is something I can watch. A lot better than when it looks like you're sitting on a bump on a log. So, yeah. So we have someone that watches our YouTube that clearly doesn't like our original setup.
Well, the cool thing about this setup is that it's so temporary, but it's like, hey, if you ever want to take Two Strong Podcasts on the road, like we can pull it off. Yeah.
You think you'd be packing all this though in a suitcase? Probably arms on these microphones alone.
Might be a check bag, yeah.
We might have to hold the microphone, which that would be fun too.
That'd be awkward, but yes.
We should do a podcast standing.
Really?
Would that be kind of cool? Like a stand-up podcast? We're walking around the stage, kind of dancing around each other.
Dancing? Okay. I don't know. I can stand because it's better like on my back, but I don't know about the dancing part.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if we've talked about this yet.
What?
But we made our fourth move in 4 years.
Sounds about right.
Four moves in 4 years. For those of you that have not moved in a while, I want you to envision packing up all the stuff in your house. And when you look around at your house, like what you see like superficially, it actually doesn't seem like that big a deal.
Mm.
But the thing about moving, you start to uncover stuff that you didn't know still existed in your home.
You're right.
Especially when you have kids. I mean, the stuff that Isaiah was pulling out of his room, I'm not kidding. I was like, dude. These shoes haven't fit you for 4 years. Like,
well, the funny
thing
is,
he wears size 11 and a half right now, and I was finding shoes that were size 7.
Well, here's something funny too, where it's like you tell him, "Hey, we're gonna move. You need to start, you know, getting rid of stuff, and you know, fill up a trash bag in the next day or two, and you know, start clearing things out." He keeps the shoes that haven't fit him in 2 years. But yeah, he'll throw away like a nice picture book that you got him for Christmas, and he'll throw away like brand new like organizers. You're like, dude, you're missing the point. Like that, you keep that stuff. You throw away the old. But, yeah.
It. You know what? It is an art. Organizing, packing, all of that. I feel like that is actually something I've improved upon over the years, especially when I started traveling more.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a good packing cube. People, if you've not used a packing cube, you got to invest in one. They're pretty cheap.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, I get a lot of my travel stuff at TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Home Goods. Okay, I'm a big bargain shopper. But I got a couple good packing cubes. It's amazing what you can fit into a packing cube when you roll your clothes and stuff like that. But getting rid of stuff is so liberating.
Yep.
I love it. Every time we've moved, I'm like, let's get rid of stuff. We don't need this. Who is that? What's her name? She's like the professional organizer from
Japan.
Is
it the Japanese? Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know her name, but I know you're talking
about. She's just Conde or something like that. I love her. I've watched all her episodes. I don't think it's on TV anymore. I don't know if it was like a pilot show that never continued. Yeah. But man, it was like so therapeutic watching her. But one of the things she would say, like, if it doesn't bring you joy, like, does this bring you joy?
Toss it.
Because some people have a hard time letting go of stuff. I mean, I know for me, I can be very sentimental about stuff, and I think a lot of people listening are going to agree with this. When you've lost a lot of people in your life or you have gone through a lot of life changes, you tend to hold on to pieces that remind you of people, places, or memories that are precious to you. But the thing is that it's really easy to store up stuff that does actually nothing for you. And I think it's powerful to take a picture. Sometimes, you know what? Take a picture of it. And you know, if you need to pull that up in your phone, pull it up. But it's really easy to have, okay, I'm going to store this in a box, store it in a box, and then realize, oh my gosh, I haven't opened this box since the last time we moved. It was like that in the house we lived in before we moved to Bend, that I would uncover this stuff. And I was like, wow, 10 years ago, this was really precious to me. And I remember one thing that I did. I did like this experiment. I pulled some of it out and I showed it to Isaiah and Mackenzie, and I was like all excited to tell them the stories behind it and be like, this is going to be something super cool for them. And it wasn't. It was like, oh yeah, that's cool, Mom. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, what are we having for dinner tonight? And I'm like, what? I've held on to this for 10 years
so
to
long,
show
yeah.
you, tell the story. But the thing is, so much of what we keep it is the most precious to us and us alone.
Individually, yeah.
And we really have to think about, why is it that we're keeping it?
Yeah.
Does stuff genuinely make us happy?
Yeah.
I think it's the memories and the life experiences that make us so happy. I know for me, I can open up a picture. You look at a picture, you know, these memories that pop up on your phone, or like if you yeah. are on Facebook, Facebook does the memories as yeah. well. I get so much joy. I mean, you and I will like text them back and forth to yeah. each other if we're out and about, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, look what popped up on my memories. Or I'll send them to friends. My friend Leslie Vandenacker, shout out. Happy birthday, girl. I love you. Lifelong friend. I sent her some videos this morning. It was her birthday today. Mm-hmm. And we're on a group text. All the college girls were on this group text. But I was thinking about how powerful videos and photos are. And I think as the years have gone on, it's like if something is so precious, but it's just taking space for no reason, and I can't actually physically use it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like there's no place to put it in the house. It's not something I'm going to be using on a daily basis, or that I'm going to bring out, or, you know, and I think as parents, we get sentimental, like, oh, I bet my kids are going to want this,
yeah.
or they're going to use this, or, and I have a box for Mackenzie, a box for Isaiah. And I, over the years, I've been like, if it can fit in this box,
mm-hmm.
like that's where it's going to be. But anything outside of that, it's like, I got to learn to let this go. I got to learn to let it go and either move on from that, take a picture if I want to remember it, look back on it. But man, it is really easy to carry a lot of stuff around. And the more that we've moved, it's kind of been almost like a spiritual thing for me, where I understand how the baggage of things of the past, we can lug those things around. And they say that the more stuff you have can also stress you out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it becomes disorganized, or it becomes like a clutter in your closet or under your bed or in the corners of your house, like that actually stresses you out. It's harder to relax. It's harder to get creative and to think clearly. It also takes up time because you're constantly reorganizing it and moving it around. And I think that as we started to make these moves, that I realized that about myself. How much of this stuff am I holding on to just because there's a memory attached to it,
yeah.
but when in fact it's doing nothing, you know, nothing for me.
Yeah, what I've learned through these moves is that if I didn't believe in miracles, I would now, because it's so funny how we've gotten rid of so much stuff in the past like 4 years because right. we've moved so much. And they're just dumpsters of trash and stuff that, you know, like
okay,
you say,
you're
you
making
just don't
us
get...
sound like hoarders. It's not dumpsters well, of trash.
Well, I'm just saying that the miracle part is like you move so much and you throw away so much and you're like, how do I still have so much stuff? Like, where did it all come? Like, keeps like multiplying. You're like, how's that possible? Like,
right. Well, here's the thing.
That's been weird.
You and I will be married 23 years in June. That's a, wait, yeah, 23 years?
No, I think it's.
Is it 22?
I think it's 22. 2000.
Oh, yeah, it is 22.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Eddie and I don't get on each other for this kind of stuff. If we forget the number of years, you're right, because we got married in 2002.
Yeah, and 24, this is, you're right. Yeah.
So it's going to be 22 years. Yeah, we got married when we were 14, if people are trying to do yeah. math on how old we are. but yes, you have stuff from that. But one of the things that I had to remind Eddie too, I have been a pro athlete for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have had collectively, I've had like 7 consistent sponsors the entire time. And I've had lots of other sponsors in there. There is something that arrives on my doorstep almost every day. And I get all my sponsor stuff, but then we just get stuff sent to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that we realized when we were cleaning out the garage.
Yeah.
Was like, there is so much stuff that we get sent this stuff, but like it was nice to go through the garage and give a lot of that stuff away and to share it and
to
spread it around. But I think we often forget that, that when you're sent stuff so often, it accumulates really fast.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, now we have a better system of, hey, if we haven't used it in 6 months, we don't need it. We pass it on to a friend or a family member, or we donate it.
Yep.
And I know this last move, it was so awesome. We got to donate furniture, appliances to other people. Like, that really, really made my heart happy. But the where we are now, this is the final move. Yep. It yep. is a lot of temporary moves, but that's what happens when you're building.
Yep.
And you have goals and you keep building, you keep moving until you land where you want to land.
That's right. All right, I think it's time for some Choose Strong podcast shout outs.
Was that the intro?
Yep, that was intro.
So we had a 20-minute intro.
Yep, sounds about right.
Where do you think people are right now? If they're running, like, how are they feeling? Are they warmed up? Are they settled in? Or are people, like, finishing and we're just now finishing our intro?
Good question. I think, yeah, I don't know.
I think they're warmed up. I yeah. think they're now settled in.
20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, 20 minutes in. Some people have like a 2 and 3 hour long run today and they're like, all right, I'm now like warmed up. I feel good. Some people have paused and done some dynamic stretches, some dynamic exercises. Some people have already paused and gone to the bathroom for the first time. Do you know? I know you're going to do these reviews. Okay, my brain's going off right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yesterday, I did a treadmill run.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I only did 7 miles on the treadmill. It was the second run of the day. I had to get off 4 times to go to the bathroom within the 7 miles.
What did you eat right before?
That's what I'm talking about. I was like, what did I eat and drink?
That mocha frap that with extra whip.
I can't remember the last time I've had a frappuccino. Those things are sugar bomb,
yeah.
intestinal nightmares. Not a good idea to drink before a long run.
No.
I do not, don't condone that. Nothing against the frappuccino. I know that's a favorite drink for some people, but not before a long run. Anyway, I was very grateful to be on a treadmill, but there have been times that I've experienced that out on the beach path. And I'm like so grateful that there are bathrooms all along that beach
yeah.
path. Like yeah. somebody wrote in about it. It's one of the questions. Someone literally said, why are my intestines always in knots after I finish a long run? We will get to that because my friend, you are not the only one. Yeah.
Okay. We'll get back to that.
We'll get back to that.
Let's go to the shout outs from the podcast.
All right. Here we go.
All right. This one's from Brand JSKXJKD.
I don't think you need to say the
brand. I was like, do I sound that out?
No, or? You do. Okay. I think I think people like to hear their hand.
The title is Positivity and Light in the Darkness. Every time I lace up my running shoes, Sally and Eddie join me for a run. Their positivity and warmth are infectious. All the cars on the road probably think I'm crazy for smiling ear to ear while running on the road. Thank you for inspiring me every day to lead with a big, loving heart. Moving from the road to trails, I've signed up for my first 50K and I can't wait. 50K coming up.
That's a big step. That's a big leap.
Thanks
50K
for
50K is, I think it still is the most popular distance in ultra. It kind of makes the most sense.
Because you go from marathon to that. It's not a huge jump.
Yeah,
right?
You got 5-ish miles you're adding on there. And remember, in ultras, the mileage is never spot on. It can't be. A lot of times you're running through trees and valleys and up mountains and stuff. So sometimes yeah. it's a little bit longer, a little bit shorter. But yeah, roughly 5 extra miles or 8 kilometers,
mm-hmm.
You know, that you're adding on to that. But one of the things I love about ultras is all of the variables that come into that. So Speed Goat 50K, for example, you're running at 8,000 and 9,000 feet the whole time.
Yeah.
Altitude. Completely different course.
Where's that one at?
That one is in Utah.
Utah.
Yeah. That's one of the oldest standing 50Ks. Really popular. And then you have some 50Ks that are just flat on fire road or on loops in a park. So ultra 50K, first time. Let's go.
All right. Next one is from Gabby. Title is You Need an Eddie and Sally. There are so many podcasts that feel rigid and hollow these days. Sally and Eddie could actually be my uncle and aunt with how they organically leave a seat at the table for listeners. Uncle Ed
uncle
and
Ed.
Aunt Sally. I like Aww. That. I always finish feeling encouraged, grounded, and fired up to run 376.2 miles. They're just fired up. I think that was like sarcastic. Like, I think, right? Like, I think she could go and feels like she could run that.
Unless that's the race she's training for. Maybe it is.
Listen, if you want to be reminded of how strength and humanity can coexist.
That's awesome.
Gabby, I like it. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabby.
All right, last one. This one came in through the Instagram. This is from Fern. Fern says, I didn't even know Yellow Runner existed until 2 months ago. Then I found your podcast shortly after, and oh my life, Sally McCray, you've introduced me to a mindset I never knew existed. I'm back-to-back episodes eating, breathing, sleeping, chew strong, and I can't get enough. My heart, mind, and my soul was so hungry for these words. It's not obvious yet, but I know the message you're sharing has changed my life. My perspective has completely changed. I've literally been listening to your podcast back to back. I've gone from episode 1 to episode 27 in less than 3 weeks. I desperately want to hear the current shows, but I refuse to skip any episodes because we're on a journey, mama. Let's go. Thank you, Sally and Eddie. Keep doing what you're doing. P.S. The best part, I have 3 daughters and a son who I can't wait to start sharing these truths with.
I love that. That was very thoughtful.
Thank you, Fern. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Fern. And love that. Shout out to you, Mama, and those precious babes of yours. I know we say this all the time, but Eddie and I do read all the reviews.
Yeah.
And it's encouraging to us. Your words encourage us to keep going, to keep putting out the content. You know, our greatest joy is to hear that you are encouraged. And a very common feedback we're hearing is people are saying, I believe in myself. I feel like I actually can achieve what it is that I want to do. And that is something that we want all of you to believe. Your mind is so powerful. And when you have that belief in the work of your hands and that goal that's ahead of you, to never give up and to keep going, you know, that just really brings a lot of joy to our hearts. So thank you for taking the time to review.
Yes.
To rate. I mean, that really means a lot to us, and just it helps get the podcast kind of moved up and the message out.
Yep.
To more people. And yes. that really is the goal. So thank yep. you.
Thank you. All right. So, and remember I told you that I wanted to highlight some podcast listeners and highlight something that has to do with a strong mind or a strong love, a strong body. I chose one for today, very simple. And this is Caitlin Burgess. She wrote in the Facebook community group, and she had a great picture that goes along with it. But all she said is she did the work, 10K race in negative 10 degrees.
Oh my gosh, is that a picture of her?
Yeah,
outside?
She's got a great picture of her, like, hair and like everything around, like her face was frozen and eyebrows, like pretty cool picture.
That's
anyways,
incredible. That's such a great shot. Isn't Caitlin, cool? You need to print that up.
Yeah, strong. I thought that was strong, like strong mind, because for me, I'm like, okay, if it's dipping under like 60 degrees, like it takes everything in my mind to like get myself out there, right? Like I know my body can get out there and run. Like I'm sure Caitlin can run a 10K, but man, when you go and face the elements, negative 10, like that's a strong mind. You know what I'm saying?
We were just in Bend.
No, I know.
I remember you. No, I'm touching back on your comment of being in Bend when it was like 20 degrees.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm definitely hanging out at the gym.
Yeah.
Which I love this, because this actually was a question that came in today too. Someone from Canada, from BC, Canada, was saying, how cold is too cold for you?
Ooh.
Where you're running indoors. And I thought it really does have to do
with
how you grew up.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
If you're just not conditioned.
Yeah.
Like for me, I'm fine running in heat. Bring on the heat. The hotter the better. I love it. I thrive in the heat.
Yeah.
But I know people that really, really struggle in the heat. It's very difficult and to manage that. But I grew up in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, you know, learning how to operate in that. Whereas you and I have a lot of friends and family that live, I mean, you have family in Canada, but friends and family that live in other states and have always known the cold and the ice and the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I have mad respect
I know,
for
I'm,
people
I'm
that
thinking,
get out in the negative
I'm thinking right now of all the people that have been tagging the podcast Instagram of like doing the work, mm-hmm. and you know, their runs of like 2 hours or 60 minutes, and it's like
snow.
Yeah, -5 and the wind chill, and it's ice, and like that just incredible. Pretty inspiring because they're getting out there and getting it done.
There's that saying, I don't know if you've heard of it. It says strong bodies are built in the winter. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking strong minds and bodies are built in the winter. I think that's part of it. It just kind of toughens you up. Like if you're going to get the work done outside, guess what? It's going to be uncomfortable the second you step outside. So for those of you that are running in the snow in negative temperatures, Eddie and I are applauding you.
Yes.
Like we are like so impressed.
Well done.
For us, we're in sunny SoCal where we get sunshine literally 320 days of the year.
Yeah.
And so we do not understand that outside of our year in Bend, was the longest time that we had spent in winter. I guess in Washington, D.C., we were in snow in those couple years too. So we've lived probably cumulative years, about 3.5-4 years, where there's very strong seasons. So we understand it. And we were training in all that too. I mean, I would run in the snow all the time at Bend. Loved it. I really loved it. I would get frustrated on the days that I wanted to do quality workouts though. And so to answer the question of, I'm just going to dive right into that question that person asked, like, when is it too cold? And then there's also like, I know some people are very, very proud of the fact that they don't own a treadmill and they refuse to run on a treadmill. I have friends who live in the snow who say that, like, no, treadmills are for sissies. I don't do the treadmill. But here's the thing. I see both sides of that. I can see how when you train yourself to run, no matter the condition, you are setting yourself up to be ready on race day, no matter the condition.
Yeah.
But also you are teaching yourself to work through any situation, which is so powerful. However, I also know that if you want to get in a quality workout and not have to mentally be so hyper-focused on, okay, is that black ice? Am I going to like slip and rip a hamstring? Am I going to twist an ankle? And especially if you do have joints and limbs that are maybe more susceptible to injury, dude, the treadmill is the answer.
Yeah.
Like the treadmill is where you can get a quality workout in if you're doing like a fartlek or intervals, or you need to like crank out that tempo run. I know a lot of professional road marathoners and track athletes that in the winter, that is all they're on. I mean, 80% of their workouts are on the treadmill, and they're able to avoid injury and hit the paces they want because that's all they have to think about.
Yeah.
They don't have to think about, you know, ice and sliding and, you know, the different terrain that they're going to hit because the snow changes from the grass to the sidewalk to black ice to, so I appreciate both sides. I don't think that you are weaker if you run on a treadmill. I know for me as a mom, as soon as we had Mackenzie, when we moved back, when we lived in Irvine, when I was pregnant with Isaiah, we got a treadmill because what I found was I was able actually to get my workouts in because I didn't always have a sitter. So I could put Mackenzie down for a nap and I could go run on the treadmill for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And we just had a cheap, I think it was a used treadmill. We had just had this cheap treadmill, but I was so grateful for it. I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm able to do my workouts. Now, even living in sunny weather, I still do workouts on the treadmill because a lot of my days are scheduled down by the hour where I'm like, I just don't have time to do anything else except I lock in that pace. I'm not going to worry about traffic lights, changing weather, you know, all the other things. Mm-hmm. Like I get the workout done. I hop off. I go right into a meeting. Like I'm done. This all kind of goes back to doing the work.
Yeah.
Do the work that fits your life, your unique life, that is going to set you up for the most success.
Yeah.
If you feel that you can be the most successful by running on a treadmill every day, do it. If you feel that you can be the most successful and happiest running outside because the treadmill is literally the treadmill for you, run outside. But I don't think that one means that you're a weaker runner or any less of a runner than the other.
Yeah.
And so for me personally, I need to always be changing environment.
Yeah.
You know, I have the routes that I love here in Huntington Beach, but, and if I find a route I really love, like I'll do it over and over and over and over again. And then I'm like, okay, I need to like go drive somewhere and like do a different route. Okay, now I'm just gonna be on the treadmill. So yeah, I think when you find that little bit of enthusiasm, that joy in what you're doing, it's going to help you stay a little bit more consistent. But to those of you that are running in the snow and you're outside and you're just hammering through all different terrains and slush and deep snow and ice, like that is, you are building a strong mind for doing that. And for those of you that are on the treadmill and you're watching us on the YouTube channel, we love that we get to join you on your treadmill. I know just this morning I had a design meeting at 9:30. And I had this little window of time and I needed to hammer just a quick 7 miles and I chose the treadmill.
You did.
And I hopped right off the treadmill and went straight into the meeting.
You were 5 minutes late to the meeting?
I was 5 minutes late, but I did ask you to lead.
Yes.
I said, please lead.
I filled in for you.
Yeah. I got to change super quick. But, pausing here for a quick message from Inside Tracker. The path to better health isn't rocket science, it's health science. For something as valuable as your health, there's no reason to leave anything to chance. So whether you want to improve your heart health, cognition, metabolism, sleep, stress levels, or overall health span, Inside Tracker reveals the exact areas of your health that need improvement through comprehensive blood testing, DNA analysis, sleep and fitness tracker data, and your current daily habits. Inside Tracker's scientists have shifted through the research so that you don't have to. So stop playing guessing games. When it comes to your health and longevity, you can save 20% on all of Inside Tracker tests with the code SALLY at checkout. Get ready to take your goals to the next level with Factor. Factor's ready-to-eat meal delivery takes the stress out of meal planning and sets you up for success in the new year. Skip the grocery stores, prep work, and cooking fatigue. Instead, get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. With over 35 meals to choose from per week, including options like keto, calorie smart, vegan plus, veggie, and more, plus over 55 weekly add-ons, you'll have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to kickstart your resolutions. Now, I gave these meals a test run, and I'll tell you what, I have tested out a lot of these meal delivery type services, and Factor was my favorite. It was delicious. I love the variety. In fact, my kids, and of course, Eddie, all ate them as well. And one of the things that I really liked was that there were these smoothies and these nutritious little shots that you could take. So lots of variety. And I'll tell you what, I love to cook at home, but sometimes, and I'd say several times during the week, there's always a meal that I need to prepare quickly. And so Factor is a great way to go. You can forget frantic lunch preps and rush dinners. Factor's two-minute meals are your secret weapon in this new year. Fuel up fast with restaurant-quality meals, all delivered right to your door. Head to factormeals.com/Sally50 and use code Sally50 to get 50% off. That's code Sally50 at factormeals.com/Sally50 to get 50% off.
All right, let's jump into some of these questions.
Okay.
I'm going to lead with this one. How many weeks before 100K start would you start your taper?
That definitely depends on the athlete. Everyone's different. When I first started running ultras, my tapers were longer. I would do like a 3 to even 4 week taper because my body wasn't used to running that distance. Mm. And I really wanted to preserve that energy. I feel like our anxiousness, our lack of confidence, especially if we're stepping into the great unknown of a distance, mm-hmm. that we get very anxious in a taper. And it's really easy to get anxious in a taper because you're lessening your time on feet. You're not running as many miles. And so people feel like I'm losing fitness. I am taking away from my race. But what is actually most common is people take away from their race by doing too much before the race. I have had several competitive friends who, because of a overuse issue, so you hit in your training plan, you naturally hit kind of like your peak training. And a lot of times that's very heavy mileage. It's a lot of intense workouts. And sometimes people kind of, they stress their bodies out. So their calves are really tight, their knees hurt, they feel slight shin splints. And because of that, you naturally have to step back so that you don't let that turn into an injury. So I've had several friends who, because of those situations, had to take longer tapers, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But what ended up happening was they then set personal bests in their races because they went into the race so well rested. They went into the race with a body that was so strong because they had put the work in and they took care of their body every which other way that they could in the lead up to the race, that that rest paid off and they crushed the race. So I always err on the side of, especially if you're brand new to ultras, which I would say 1 to 3 years, then give yourself a longer taper. I'd say at the minimum, a 2 week taper. 3 to 4 weeks is great. But remember, tapering is, if you did a 4 week taper, let's say that you are on average running 60 miles a week, okay? Your first week of taper, maybe we drop that down to, you know, 45 miles. And then the next one is like 30 miles. And then the week of the race is like maybe 20 miles, if that. I mean, I even feel like the week of the race, like, don't even stress about miles. You want to make sure you're as rested, that your body is mobile, it's not stiff, it's loose. But tapering, you keep your intensity. So you keep the intensity there, but the volume is lessened. And so that's something that you have to remember too, is sometimes people think tapering is just, now I'm going to lay around on the couch and I'm just going to do all these like super easy, like 20-minute runs. But you can actually still keep a couple workouts in there, especially the 2 and 3 weeks out from a race. The week of, I really cannot drive this home enough, but the week of your race, the most important thing that you need to understand is that there is very little, very, 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 very little that you can do to improve your race those few days before the race. 4 or 5 days out, if you go and just hammer some super hard workout, if anything, you might be taking away from your race than adding to it. So what you want to do is prepare your body to be the most rested. You want to be a ferocious lion on race day. You want to be so full of energy, this pent up energy, that you're ready to tear it open. You don't want to go into race day tired. So those 7 days before the race, take care of yourself, get extra sleep, make sure you're really loaded up on those carbohydrates and calories and hydration. Take a look at your mobile routine and stretching, loosen up, get a light massage. But really make sure that you're ready to race. So the taper before 100K, it really has to do with how long, how fit you are, and really how your training has been going. So if someone is 3-4 weeks out from a 100K and they're like, dude, I'm exhausted, I am so tired, dude, start tapering now.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that that is not how you feel on race day. You can keep your workouts up, but that volume starts dropping big time and your emphasis is on rest because you put the work in. The work is done. Now you're just fine-tuning, maintaining, and making sure that you get to that start line strong, rested, and ready.
So I'm 52 days out from the LA Marathon.
Look at that, you guys. Look at that.
Should I start tapering today?
No. Eddie actually ran a half marathon last week and I was so proud of you, Ed. You ran it in the dark, in the wind.
Okay, so.
And Mackenzie was with you the whole time.
Well, she was on her bike for a lot of it, but she was so bored because I was going so slow that she just would go off and come back. But that was difficult.
Tell us about it.
Okay, let me tell you about this. Yeah, there's a few reasons why it was difficult. First of all, the mileage, 13 miles. Yeah, that was far. But the time, so I did it at like 5 p.m. I think it was Saturday night, Sunday night.
Literally
Sunday
the night. Week that we were moving in.
Yeah,
it was. You were exhausted.
I did not want to do that.
I know.
At all, right? And I pushed it off, and you're like, no, you gotta go make it happen. So, I went out. It's 5 o'clock. The Bills Chiefs playoff game was starting at 5:15, I believe. So I was walking out the door, knowing I was going to miss that whole game. And there's nothing more that I wanted than to just sit on the couch and watch the game. So that was a bummer. Then I get on the path down by the beach and I begin to run, and I'm looking at these restaurants with everybody, you know, watching the big screens, and I'm trying to like look in there and see what the score is, but they're just having a great time eating nachos and, you know, having beers. And here I am like just starting out on a 13-mile run. And the first 6.5 miles were extremely brutal. They were so rough. First of all, it was getting dark, and I've never ran in the dark ever. Well, the one time I did was with you pacing you at Badwater, but that doesn't count because it wasn't just me running for me. This one, I actually decided to run in the dark. So that was big. And then the second thing is that I literally was running into like a Category 3 hurricane. I was like, are you kidding me? This is so, so much wind.
I don't think people understand. Okay. Coastal living.
Yeah.
The way the pattern of the wind goes, at least here in the Southwest, is as the day goes on, the wind picks up.
Yeah.
So everyone knows that lives here. If you have to do your run in the afternoon or evening, you're like, oh, at least one way is going to be gnarly.
Brutal. Yeah.
It's going to be brutal. Yeah.
Like, I was expecting that, but I did not expect, because it was a storm. There was
several storms coming through. We've gotten a lot of rain. I'm not complaining. Those of you in the snow, we love you.
No, we're not complaining.
We've gotten way more rain than expected. I mean, it's flooding all over SoCal. I mean, it's been, these are big storms.
Yeah. So all that to say is I was running at, I looked at my watch at one point and it was 11-minute pace. Not good for me.
Yeah. That's not your race pace you're aiming
No,
for.
But I felt like that. I was moving well. I'm like, I'm pushing it. I looked down, I was like, 11 minutes? Like, this is brutal. That just shows you how gnarly that wind was in my face.
11 minutes is hard when you feel like you're working really hard.
Yes.
I understand.
I felt
that.
Like I was working hard, and I looked down. I'm like, I'm going 11 minutes.
That's still like,
it's ridiculous.
You're still going like 5.5 miles an hour.
No, that's, don't even try to. That's,
I'm just saying.
Dude, the funny thing was,
walks that fast? It's not like you were walking.
At 6.5 miles, and this whole time I'm like thinking about, I wish I was watching the football game. I wish I was whatever. So by the time I hit 6.5, I'm about to turn around. There's a bathroom there. And I went to the bathroom and I was on my phone. I started checking my emails. The very first email that came up said, Irish nachos. And I was like, huh. I began to look at this email.
Wait,
I got
this is the middle of your run in the bathroom?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I started like flipping through.
You want to know the difference between edit training and me training? Here you go.
I was like, I never had an Irish nacho. What's that all about?
I'm hearing this for the first time, people.
But then I opened the email. It was like some like clickbait or something, because it's like talking about dog food. And everything, but I don't know what an Irish nacho is. But I did find that interesting that the LA Marathon's on St. Patrick's Day. So Irish nachos would be a kind of ironic. Anyways, so I did my 13 miles. So what were we talking about before?
Well, I'm just saying that you did something that was difficult for you mentally. I think
I was, yeah.
And I think I told you this when you got back, because Mackenzie was teasing you about the 11 minute.
Yeah.
Especially Mackenzie, who her easy pace, like when she's recovering, is 7:15.
Yes.
Like that's her recovery
fast.
Pace. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a sub-5 minute miler.
Yeah.
I mean, I think her goal this year is to run sub 4:50 in the mile, mm-hmm. which is wicked fast. So when she was riding alongside of you and you shouted out that you're running 11, she was like laughing so hard.
It's embarrassing.
And
yeah.
I think she logged 22 miles on the bike.
She did.
alongside your 13 because she kept on circling back.
Yes, she would go.
She's yeah. like, I'm out of here. But you were telling me this, kind of beating yourself up for a moment. And I said, dude, you just did a few. I need to highlight this because a lot of people that are running right now and just listening for that running community, they understand this, yeah. that it's really easy to come back from a run and think, wow, like I am not where I want to be.
Yeah.
And that was rough. And then we proceed to get down on ourselves. And then we think, dude, I am taking tomorrow off. Maybe I'll take the next couple days off. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Like, why did I set that goal? This isn't panning out. Like, I feel like I've put in all this work. I can't believe I was running that slow. And you need to understand that that is completely normal for everyone. Mm. Everyone is going to set out during a training run and fall short of their own personal expectations. And we are our worst critics. We are so good about beating ourselves up. And I think I wanted to step in and just highlight, number one, you have had probably one of the busiest weeks that you've had probably in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're up at 6 and you're working till like 9 and 10 o'clock at night. So to head out in the dark, in the middle of all of that, of a full week of like 60, 70 hours of work and go put in 13 miles in storm conditions in the dark, the most powerful thing that you did there was overcome the negativity in your mind and the desire to want to stay back, because it's human nature for all of us. I don't care how strong, you know, that we are physically, our minds are so powerful and so good at keeping us from setting out and doing a run like that. Mm-hmm. We can just be like, you know what? It's too late. I've had a long week. I'm so stressed out. Like, I'm going to start fresh tomorrow. And the truth is, we don't always get tomorrow. And the truth is, we don't know what tomorrow brings. Mm-hmm. And if you had those couple hours to do it, if you wanted to, could you have found other stuff to do around at home? Yeah. Could we have said, hey, you know what? Let's call it a day. Let's just go out to dinner. Yeah. That's probably what I wanted to do. But you set out, and I thought the other part that was really cool was that Mackenzie wanted to go with you. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about this nonstop because this is the year she graduates from high school. In 6 months, she's moving out of the house. And I thought, she's at an age where a lot of her memories, she'll remember this for the rest of her life. She'll remember being a senior in high school and riding her bike alongside her dad in the dark on the coast. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start crying because I just think that's so precious. Mm-hmm. You know, we forget sometimes when we're working toward a goal, the impact that we have on the people around us. See, our goals are not just about ourselves. They are meant to impact. When we're working toward that goal in the right way, they do impact people around us, and we can impact people in the best ways. And Mackenzie will always remember you as someone that was always working on their health, on their fitness, on setting goals for themselves. I mean, she's very well aware that her daddy at 44 years old is going to run a marathon for the first time. And she will never forget that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the coolest thing ever. And she's going to remember joining you for one of your longest runs to date. Mm-hmm. And I love that for both you guys. And so the important thing for our listeners to understand is that you have to practice counting all the things that you did right. I don't care how bad you feel physically, or you missed that pace, or like your belly was hurting because you ate too much at lunch or at dinner, or you're just so stressed out from a relationship or work, or things are just not panning out. You still have to celebrate and count the things that went right. And there were several things that went right. You showed up one, that's the hardest thing. You stepped out of that door and into a storm, into the dark with your daughter at your side. I mean, those things alone, who cares what your pace was? Like, those things are so powerful.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people need to hear that. I think that, you know, for those of you that are running, for those of you that are lifting, riding right now, when you finish your workout, you need to do that for yourself too. And I don't care if it's a recovery run, what your pace is. I think this is the unfortunate part of the sports world in general. We focus so much on pace. We focus so much solely just on how fast we do stuff, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's across a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's how many hits did you get at bat? How many goals or baskets did you score? And how fast did you run that 5K, 10K, or marathon? And we totally overlook endurance, strength, power of the mind, and the great impact that we are having in all the other areas of our life because we're showing up and working toward a goal and we're getting that work done.
Yep. Yeah. All right. This is a good one.
Well done, Ed.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it. Do you recommend focusing on mileage or time on feet when training for a race? That one's pretty, that's kind of a question I have too. I know that that's...
I've done both with you.
You've done both. So that's like, how do you... You know, why would you do either or?
One or the other.
Yeah.
When it's a new runner to a new distance, I love to focus just on time because mileage can be overwhelming. And I really believe that when you are embarking on a goal, usually the first reason why that has even come into your imagination is because there's something exciting about it.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that draws out this enthusiasm, this curiosity, this interest, and you're drawn to complete that. And I really believe that you want to keep that alive. That's what you want to keep alive and not get so hyper-focused on what's your pace? How many miles did you go? That's for later. There is a time and place for that. But let's say that you have a 6-month training plan and you're working toward a half marathon. What I would do is I would spend at minimum the first 2 months only focusing on time. How much time did you spend working toward the goal? And if you can help people understand that your time is valuable, that your time matters, and only focus on the goal that you're working toward instead of the metrics, I think that people are going to lock into a more consistent routine. Whereas I remember when I first started in marathoning, my go-to training plans came from Runner's World magazine and runnersworld.com.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was metric-based. You know, right away within the first week, I was running 800 repeats on the track. Like it was super overwhelming for me. And I knew that I had to hit this, you know, the 6 miles and the 8 miles and the 10 miles. And it was just like, I felt like I had to hit measurements right away. But I think what is more important is that you don't immediately measure yourself when you're setting on this goal. What you want is to learn to be consistent. Put the time in. I don't care how far you go or what that effort looks like. Learn to put the time in every day. Show up and just time on your feet. And I will say this too, to athletes that are seasoned athletes and they're coming back from illness, they're coming back from injury, they're coming back from a heartbreak race. And I say, you know what? We're taking the metrics out. I just want you to get out on the mountain today and I want you to love being on your feet. I've had athletes come to me like, I just lost my grandma. I can't even like see straight from one day to the next. Like this is like really rough week for me. And I said, you know what? We're not going to worry about training, but you need to be out in the sunshine, taking that fresh air, go walk on a trail for an hour. I want you to keep moving. And the conversations that I have with people around that, they're really freeing. I think people feel liberated by putting in the time instead of measuring themselves by their pace and their mileage. And again, this is most powerful for brand new athletes that are just entering the running world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to kind of get a hold of this consistent training program. They're trying to get fit. They really want to grow and progress in a training plan. So this is the best way to stay consistent. Now, obviously, your race is, that's a metric.
Yeah.
If you're going to hit a half marathon and all you've ever done is run for 20 minutes, it's going to be a wake-up call on race day when you get to, you know, 40, 50 minutes and you're like, what? I still have 2 more hours to go. I've never done that before. So there is a place for time on feet. And there is a place for measuring. I mean, what gets measured gets improved. Mm-hmm. And so if you start to learn after 2 months, like, okay, like I'm going to start measuring now. It takes me an hour to go 5.8 miles. Okay. Well, you know what? I want to improve on that. I want to be able to run 6.5 miles in an hour. What do I need to do that? Well, let's start adding in some workouts. Let's start adding in some metric-based workout. We'll do that once or twice a week. I'll get you on a track, or we can measure out a kilometer. Or we can measure out, you're going to run for 2 minutes hard, 1 minute easy. We'll try that four times. And then the workouts become fun mm-hmm. because you've already been consistent for a couple months. Now let's add in some metrics and see what you can do. You've already built up the confidence that you can keep a training plan and you've gotten fitter. You've shown yourself out. Now we're going to put some metrics in there. And I'll tell you what, sometimes the metrics can be a hard pill to swallow. Because we start to understand like, wow, I have a lot of work to do if I want to run this half marathon in under 3 hours or yeah. under 2 hours. And you know what? The truth is what makes you better. The metrics are what make you better. Because if you want to be better, you have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that there are steps in a training program that set people up for success. And that is why I will start new runners off or people getting back into shape. You know, I have some athletes come to me, they're like, dude, I'll be honest, I haven't done anything in 3 years. So I'm overweight. I don't feel good about myself. I don't like how I look in my workout clothes. And I'm like, you know what? We're not measuring anything. Mm-hmm. I want you to show up for yourself. I want you to get out and go walk for 30 minutes. I want you to go pick up some weights for 20 minutes. Don't tell me how heavy the weights are. I don't care how far you went. I want you to show up for yourself and just put the time in. And that's it.
Yeah.
And do you see how that kind of relieves people of the pressure?
Yeah.
And they can gently and progressively grow confidence in themselves mm. and understand that the work that they have to do, it is unique and personal to where their starting point is.
Yeah.
And so, that is my personal coaching philosophy. I could sit down with four other coaches and we could all agree on certain things and disagree on certain things. But when it comes down to it, I don't think very many coaches would disagree with me on this, that you program an athlete in accordance to their goals, mm-hmm. not your goals. Mm-hmm. And sometimes coaches get caught up in that. They think that every person they're coaching wants to go to the Olympics. And I'm like, they don't. Like, that's not how it should be. But yet a lot of the training plans, a lot of what is put out there kind of has that in mind, that you need to hit these splits and this time and this pace. And it's like, well, if you were to customize the training program in accordance to that person's goals, in accordance to where they are in their fitness journey right now and where they are right now, I guarantee that training plan that you're talking about, it would change.
Yep.
And so, yes, my philosophy is very specific, but I like to keep the personal journey at the forefront of everything I do. And I think that having time on your feet is far more powerful. And I'll tell you what, you guys, I've been an athlete my whole life. When I come out of an off season, and I did this in like the middle of November, my first 6-8 weeks are time-based and it is like so liberating. I'll just say I'm going out for an hour. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to lift for an hour. I'm going to go run. I'm going to run for an hour. I don't care what my pace or what the distance is. Now, right now, am I still doing that? No. Now it's like, all right, Sally, here we go. Let's see where you are. And it's very humbling because I've spent the last 2 years doing very high mileage races, putting races back to back. I mean, last year was over 1,000 miles of racing. Mm-hmm. And because of that, these longer distances, I'm spending more time in a slower pace. Well, right now, it's all about speed. And so I have to measure myself to find out what my starting point is. What is a really hard pace for me?
Yeah.
And so the metrics keep me honest. And for me, because I've been in the sport for so long, I love that honesty and I love the hard work and I like to know where my starting point is. And if I'm starting at the bottom of the mountain, I'm ready for it because I've been in the sport long enough to know that you put that work in, it's going to matter. And it's patient work. I mean, I'm not getting like exponentially better every day. I'm getting teeny, teeny, tiny, tiny, tiny bit better
yeah.
each day. But I know in 3 months from now, I am not going to be where I am today. And that excites me. That drives me. So there is a time and place for both time on your feet and then the metric-based training.
Cool. I think we got time for
a couple more.
One more or so.
I mean, someone just wanted to know what you put in your coffee.
Really?
Yeah. That was actually the first question that came in.
What do you put in your coffee?
What do you put in your coffee? It's the question for you.
For me?
Yeah. You had a picture of you holding the coffee and your do the work shirt, by the way.
Yeah. Represent.
And someone wanted to know what you put in your coffee. What do you put in your coffee, Edward?
So in my coffee, if I'm just going coffee, I'm going just a little bit of half and half. That is it.
No sugar.
Simple man. No sugar. A little bit of half and half. Now, if I'm feeling something different than, you know, regular coffee, I'm going vanilla oat milk latte.
Okay.
And that's it. Those are my two.
Do you ever do
my
soy?
My go-to. No.
Is that a thing anymore?
I don't do soy.
You know, I don't hear as much people throw soy around as much as they do almond,
you're right,
and oat milk.
Yeah, I'll do some almond every once in a while, but no soy. I'll mostly oat.
Why do you choose oat over almond?
The taste, it's like a little creamier.
Yeah.
And it definitely has a different taste. It fills me up a little more too.
You can froth oat milk a little bit better too.
Yeah, you're right.
Almond milk can be a little bit watery.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so there you go. There you have it.
Those are your go-tos. I like an Americano, hot Americano with heavy cream. It's the stuff you make whipped cream out of.
Yeah.
But I like it because there's no sugar in it.
Yep.
And so, but I do add some raw sugar packets to it every now and then too.
Yeah.
And I like a nice sugar-free vanilla latte as well.
Oh, yeah. Sugar-free, yeah.
Sometimes I do sugar-free.
Yeah, me too.
I go back and forth. But just a good old cup of coffee is like, I feel like when I travel, when I go to Europe, I don't know if it's just the coffee tastes better. I can go black coffee there all day.
Yeah.
But here, it just doesn't taste the same. I need a little extra something. I am that person. I know a lot of people, they can go straight black coffee.
I can do that.
I think you and I had tried that. I've tried like every diet on the planet, especially when I was teaching my fitness classes back when the kids were babies. I would experiment and try different diets because I wanted to know what they were about.
Yeah.
I learned so much in those seasons. And one of the things that I found was like most good diets – they're based on pretty much all the same things. You eat real food.
Yep.
Eliminate the fried foods, the sugar, and the processed food.
Yep.
That's like every.
Yep.
And so one of the things that I started doing was I was putting butter.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Or just heavy cream straight into my coffee.
Well, it has a name. It's
Bulletproof Coffee.
Bulletproof, that's
yeah.
right.
It was a fad.
I remember that, yeah.
It was a fad.
Good.
It was supposed to keep you full if you were intermittent fasting.
Yeah, that's
if you're
right.
into intermittent fasting, which I try to do some fasting several times a week, just like the 12 hours, which is super easy to do. I mean, if you have your dinner at 7 o'clock and then you don't eat again until the next morning, 7 o'clock, like super easy to do. I have high cholesterol genetically, which is crazy to me, but like, and that is something that has been suggested to help out with that.
Yeah,
is the intermittent fasting. But I don't do like the crazy 20-hour ones. I can't, like, my energy output, my training, and I have tried all different types of intermittent fast. I've tried the different hours, and I don't feel great on those long fast.
Yeah.
And I feel like too, there's the more research that comes out, it's like, well, if you're this age, try this type of fasting. If you're this age, try this type of fasting. And I'm like, okay. So I've tried all different hours, and I feel great when I do the 12 hour. I feel like my system has a good reset. I feel like my intestines are a little bit better too. I feel like I sleep better. Yeah, you kind of just giving your body a break to digest. But I'm not like rigid crazy about it.
Yeah.
If I get up super early in the morning and I just have some mornings where I'm like, hey, I want a cup of coffee, or sometimes I'll wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't think I had enough for dinner. Like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'll have a huge breakfast, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. And yeah. But So that's that was a tangent off of what was in your coffee.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's weird how the question was for me, and then you took the longest time to answer
that's
it.
So that's weird. That is super weird.
That's weird. Well, you know what? We do need to wrap this up because we have a soccer game to get to.
We do. Riley Ray.
Yes.
Our niece.
Yes, she's got a game. We're going to go support her.
We are going to go support
so
her.
So we can answer some of these questions next time.
Okay.
What do you think?
Can you, before we end, Eddie, can you give some updates on our shop? And some things that are coming out for Choose Strong and Do the Work.
Yeah, the merch shop. We just, we talked to the main guy yesterday, John. He is shipping out all the orders that came in, kind of the first orders came in. They should be there by now. And then the other ones that had a hat and a pre-order hat and a shirt or a tank or not a tank, but a sweatshirt. Initially he was holding those on until the hat was in stock, and then he was going to ship both those out. But we said to give the shirts out and then, not wait for the hat. So those shirts will be en route to the people that got them. Right.
Yeah. If you guys are interested in some Do the Work merch, there is a link in the show notes, but also you can also get to everything on my website, sallymcrae.com. There's a lot on my website. My good friend Hillary Yang, Billy's wife, she redesigned my website.
Came out great.
It's so beautiful. I love it. There's a lot of information on there in addition to my store. And super excited. We met with an amazing designer this morning. We are going to be putting together a collection.
Yep.
And there's going to be some Choose Strong stuff in there. There's going to be some more Do the Work and a couple other things added to that, and just really expanding the whole just merch store. So this is something that Eddie and I are both actually, we both love. We both love design and art and graphics and all that. We personally can't do it, but it's something we love to be a part of. And it's just a great way to spread the word of this strong community, to encourage one another, to help you keep focused on your goals. And they're great gifts too.
Mm-hmm.
So new designs are coming out. These are just some initial concepts, but I'm really excited about our little logo that's being made right now.
Me too.
I'm really excited to expose that.
Yep.
But we want to say to you, thank you so much for all your support. But most importantly, just thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up today. We believe every life has a purpose, and every day that you wake up, there is work to be done. There is a reason why you're here. Even if you're not feeling that today, there is. You matter. What you do matters. And no one else can live your life for you. No one else can do what you do specifically. There is so much about you that is so wonderful. And if no one has told you that today or has told you that in a while, you need to know that and you need to believe it, because that is what's true. And we're so excited that you're part of the Choose Strong community. Eddie and I are so grateful for every listener and everyone that is a part of the community. And we just want to encourage you today and every day this week to keep choosing strong in all that you do.